Well, good morning, folks. Welcome back once again to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys had a terrific weekend. I had my son's 10th birthday. He had a great time, had a giant water slide, had tons of friends and family over, and we had a blast. So I hope you guys had a fantastic weekend, and you guys are staying strong and healthy as always. Ted will be here in a minute. He had to grab something real fast. And I hope you guys are staying stocked up on all your nutritional products that you need. And, yeah, especially the purple sticks. We love those. I made another one here this morning. And the one thing that I like about them, too, is that especially if you want to use a lot of water, a lot of times people talk about, you know, wanting to add more stuff to their water, make it different because water is boring. And I got it. Sometimes water is just blah. And I like that sometimes because you can throw in, you know, one packet or one scoop and 20 ounces or even a bigger jug and drink it over a period of like an hour or two. Make sure you're getting adequate hydration when you do that, because a lot of times people fail to realize how much water our body needs on a daily basis, especially down here in the great state of Florida, where it, you know, August, it's been known to get a little warm down here. And if it's when it's 100 degrees with, you know, 99% humidity, you got to stay pretty hydrated. And that's the thing, is you got to make sure your mineral support's up. That's why the multiple powders are a really good product as far as to throw in your system when it's hot out, when you're sweating, whether you're training, whether you're outside a lot. And yeah, because remember, your body's made up about 70% water. Once you become dehydrated, everything starts to deregulate in the body, downregulate in the body. As far as organ functioning, detoxifying, mental focus, everything starts to slow down. That's why, you know, you can go without food for a while. You can do a long fast. You can't go without water. You know, a ways back ago, and I've had this multiple times people have asked me this question, and I've always said, absolutely not. And I don't understand where it keeps coming from. And it was a little ways back, somebody again asked me about doing a dry fast. And I said, no, under no circumstances is that something you should be doing for 24 or 48 hours. There is zero benefit from cutting your water intake out and doing a dry. Dry fast means you don't do anything. No food, no water, no nothing for like 24 or 48 hours. That is not something I ever recommend. Water is too important to the body. Once the body starts becoming severely dehydrated, the blood turns pretty much almost to vernaculars like sludge, like 90 weight motor oil. It becomes unbelievably thick. The cardiovascular system has a very difficult time trying to pump it, and it starts putting an enormous amount of stress on everything. So make sure you're drinking adequate water at all times and staying very hydrated. That's the other factor too with the collagen formula we have. Somebody asked me about it the other day, and I said, when you're taking the collagen formula, you've got to make sure that you're drinking adequate water. Not that it dehydrates you, but to get the best benefits in the body, you've got to stay well hydrated to get this product saturated throughout everything and to get the best results from the skin, from the hair, from the nails, from the joints. The more water you drink with it, the better you are in most cases. And that's why I say at least half your body weight in fluid ounces. So if you weigh 200 pounds, you need to be drinking at least about 100 ounces of water per day, every day on a regular basis. And like I said, when you're taking the collagen, make sure you're having adequate water with it to get the best results. And that product, I think we should be caught up with everything starting tomorrow. We'll knock that out, and then the product will be going back to regular price on it. It's expensive to manufacture the way we did it with these three formulas in here, but it works really good. I've gotten great results from everybody that's using it, but again, sales off on it now starting probably tomorrow night. So I'll let it go run more day. Same thing with the EyeSight as product of the week. You guys voted, and this is a product that I think it's kind of browsed over a lot. You know, you don't really appreciate your eyesight until you start getting older. My eyesight's still extremely good, but I also do take this product, and I'm still pretty young. But, you know, you always think back, you know, when you're like 18, 19, 20, and I mean, I couldn't even, there nothing stopped my vision. I mean, I was far out as you can see all the time, and it's one of those things you don't really, you kind of take advantage of it.
Older? What are you talking about? Older? Yeah. What kind of comment was that?
You chose not to participate in that. But you don't. You don't even have your glasses out here, dude. You don't even wear glasses hardly.
I hardly wear glasses. I
remember about 10 years ago, you had like. I'm not picking on you, but it's like every time we did something, you pulled your glass out.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
Every time.
Yeah. I've been taking the eyesight.
I know. That's when you don't even glasses out here. When he doesn't have his glasses, that's when you know the product's working, honestly. Yeah. Well, you can't fake that.
But older. I mean, older doesn't work for me. I'm going to tell you this again. I've told you this before. I'm going to tell you it again. I was at the Sun and Fun this weekend, right? Keep me on this middle camera, Rich. I was at Sun and Fun this weekend, and it was so funny because I was there with Bob and the gang, and then they were talking about getting older. And I said, well, I don't do that anymore.
I opted out.
I said, that really was awful. I didn't want to do that anymore. And then I was joking with him. And then a lady who was there with her husband, I hadn't seen him in about 4 or 5 years. And they hadn't seen me, I think it was in 2022. And, so it's been 4 years. And so she walked up to me and she goes, "What have you been doing?" And I said, "What do you mean?" She goes, "You've had a facelift."
Oh, she tried.
No. Here, stay with me. And
I can confirm he hasn't had a facelift. No.
If I had a facelift, I'd be out of pocket for 6 weeks.
Well, no, the problem is when people do them a lot of times, they're all like, like they do way too tight, man. It's weird.
No, what happens is, all right, now, ladies, listen to me. I'm going to just give you some advice here. Now, you can take it or leave it. It doesn't matter to me. Okay, Sharon had a facelift. Okay, be loyal to me. Did Sharon have a facelift? Yes, she did. She wanted one. And then she wanted another one when she was 60. And I said, "No, we're not going to do that." And Austin's exactly right. Because what happens is the skin loses its elasticity. Yeah. And they get in and they start yanking you back.
More and more and more.
No, and you look like some kind of freakoid. And I'm sorry. I'm not picking on you if you've done it. But you don't look right. You know, there's a TV evangelist. What's her name? Joyce Myers or whatever her name. No, is that her name? I can't remember. And she looks awful after all of her surgeries. And there's a certain point when it just doesn't work. You've got to just age gracefully. So it was so funny to me. She said, "Have you had a facelift?" And I said, "No." I said, "No." But now what I do, and I told him, I said, "I take 6,000 milligrams of vitamin C every day. I take collagen every day."
Yeah.
And she said, "Well, you look younger now than you did, you know, four or five years ago." And I'm like, "Well, thank you."
Now, is there anything else anybody can do as far as it's not as invasive as a facelift they can do to the skin?
Yes, you can do microneedling. That works. And you can also do a IPL laser. I don't recommend the heavy laser where they burn your skin off. That's awful. You can do the IPL laser. You can do Moxie laser. And you can be back at work the next day. It doesn't do much to you, but it helps to keep the skin clear. But those are the ones that work really well, along with the microneedling. And then, of course, the collagen. It's like you said. Now, I'm going to say one other thing, too. This is important. You know, you said about hydration. I can't tell you how critical hydration is.
Yeah.
And here's one of the reasons that blood pressure medicine and water pills make you go senile. Are you listening to me? They dehydrate the brain. I had a friend of mine the other day. He came over and he was all mad. He goes, "I had to go back on my blood pressure medicine. I was up all night urinating with my water pill."
Flush water out.
And I said to him, I said, "You know that water's coming out of your brain too, bud." And that's what happens. Your brain starts to shrink when you get older for hydration. And they don't tell you that the water comes out of the brain just like it comes out of the rest of the body and the ankles and everywhere else. It doesn't care. It's a diuretic. And when you have water out of your brain stops functioning. You start having memory lapses. That's why diuretics are linked to memory loss, in my opinion. Now, there could be some kind of strange biochemical reaction in the body. I don't know. But I know that water is one of the critical ones. That's why every morning I get up, I have a big 32-ounce glass of water with two purple sticks. You say, "Well, you're doing two purple sticks. You're just having another one right now." But yeah, I am having another one. It's better than a nicotine patch. And we're going to cover that in a minute. Okay, that stuff.
Well, pouches. Well,
I'll
cover it. Well, you want me to cover it. I'll cover it today.
Well, no. They back in the 50s, your doctor smokes Camel cigarettes. This is what your doctors prefer. 9 out of 10 doctors prefer this cigarette.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm a little kid. I'm thinking, that can't be good. That's awful.
There were actually claims back then that cigarettes help cure emphysema.
Oh, they're making claims now that, you know, that nicotine patches cure
the
cancer.
The pouches.
Now, I'm going to say something to you about this. I'm not saying that nicotinoid receptors of the body, it may not benefit some people to have a nicotinoid product, but I'm saying this. Putting nicotine pouches in your mouth are going to massively increase your risk of oral cancers, and you're going to increase your blood pressure, and. Well, and I don't recommend it at all.
So everybody's seen this. I've had this. A lot of people ask me these questions now. Is this because these nicotine patches are becoming part of this, like, wellness influencer? They're saying all the time now, you do the nicotine patch before you work out, you do this, it increases basically cognitive functioning. The problem with it is, and it doesn't take long to look this up, and you can do your own research, I mean, whatever you guys want to do with it, is that nicotine is a vasoconstrictant, period. The problem with it is a lot of the research that they try to claim this stuff does with using these nicotine pouches is that they've taken studies from the past, and they've used very, 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 very low doses of nicotine in some cases to see if it triggered certain parts of the brain. Now, here's the thing about it is, yes, nicotine triggers release of dopamine and adrenaline. That's why when you use tobacco, a lot of times you get that buzz feeling. You feel good.
You used to be hooked on this stuff, weren't you?
Well, I didn't use pouches. I was a man when I did it, by the way. I'd use Copenhagen. I did it for 10 years. Smokeless tobacco. Working construction.
I watched that movie the other night, Predator.
Yeah. You're chewing that.
Jesse Ventura's handing out chaw.
Yeah.
In a helicopter. And then he calls them all a bunch of slack-jawed blankety-blanks for not wanting to have chaw while they're flying in a helicopter. That was funny.
Yeah, I mean, it was back in the thing, the 80s and the 90s. It was always in movies, and, you know, and I did it for a while. And it's unbelievably addictive. I started having gum problems and teeth problems from it, to be honest with you. And that's why I stopped in my 20s. I thought to myself, what am I doing? What's it doing to me? And is this okay? And when, you know, Copenhagen got about $8 a can, it wasn't funny anymore either. And so the thing about it is what I also noticed was my cardiovascular system did much better when I wasn't using it. And here's the issue that so many people forget to realize. Nicotine's a vasoconstrictant, especially when you start using higher doses of it. A lot of these nicotine pouches, these biohacks now, still have anywhere between 2 to 3 to 5 to 6 milligrams of nicotine in them, sometimes more. This stuff is not some natural biohack that's going to make your life better in it. They've done tests and studies and shown what nicotine does to the cardiovascular system. It constricts blood vessels. Yes, does it increase adrenaline? Yes, does it increase dopamine? Yes. Can it make you slightly cognitively sharper when you're using a nicotine product when you're doing something mentally? Yes. But there's a whole host of other problems that usually come alongside that when you start using this, including cardiovascular damage long term, especially if you're doing extremely intense exercising while you're using nicotine products, which is what they're starting to promote now, which makes no sense to me. I do not understand why they'd be promoting this. They're talking about using these pouches while you're in the gym as like a pre-workout to give you, you know, a kick in the pants. Will it do that? Yes. Is it good for your cardiovascular system long term? Absolutely not. So I wanted to clear that up. I've had a lot of people email about this topic.
Use purple sticks, guys.
Yeah, dude, there's so many other things you can use on here. And guys, nicotine's extremely addictive. I mean, when I did, I stopped cold turkey. It's what I did. I just didn't pick up another can again and never touched it since. For about 2 weeks, I was a grouchy individual to be around. Now, if you are coming off nicotine or cigarettes or dip, one of the things you can take is the cinnamon extract, ironically enough. That's got alpha lipoic acid, and it's got the ginkgo in it. And also, too, make sure you're taking a lot of B-complex and omega-3s and 5-HTP. The 5-HTP will increase your serotonin production, which will offset that dopamine drop you're going to hit when you stop taking nicotine products. Your dopamine just drops. Your receptors are burned out because you're using nicotine all the time. And then the B complex will give your body the B vitamins it needs, and the omega-3s will keep your brain just saturated in omega-3 fats, which it has to have, and also too, in order to produce more serotonin and dopamine.
Now, here, I'm gonna give you the real reason here. The broader embrace of nicotine stands to benefit the tobacco industry, which has invested heavily in nicotine products in recent years.
There you go. Yeah,
the U.S. sales of nicotine pouches has nearly tripled between 2023 and 2024. Now listen to me. BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard are directly involved in this. These are the bloodline families and all the rest that they do. And I'm telling you this right now. They don't want you to be healthy.
Yep.
Okay? I remember I did it. I read a study that was done years ago, and it was using a thermograph. It was basically, this is back when I was in college.
You told me about that, yep.
And they took a person's hand, they put it in a thermograph, and they looked at it. This is what they used to thermography, breast thermography, and they wanted to see how much oxygen was in it. It was completely red with oxygen, red. They took one inhalation off a cigarette, one. And they basically put it back into the thermograph within 45 seconds. It turned completely blue from vasoconstriction.
Blue.
Cancer. That means you're not getting the oxygen. You're getting the adrenal kick is what you're getting, but you're not getting the oxygen back to your tissue. Cancer is an anaerobic. It has to live without oxygen. And so you massively increase your risk of cancer when you use nicotine, in my opinion. Well, and, you know, and now there are all these people that are pushing this nicotine stuff. You got to ask who's pushing it. And, you know, even... they even made bolder health claims. One company has branded itself high intensity health conscious individuals working to optimize performance on the field at the gym and the office, for example. Some wellness influencer promotes specific nicotine protocols. Like any stimulant, nicotine can make you slightly more alert.
Right.
It doesn't make you more intelligent. It doesn't make you funnier. It doesn't make you able to write interesting novels. Any of those things, he says. It makes you able to focus in boring situations and stay with the topic a little bit longer. Purple sticks.
That's what it's because it bumps adrenaline up. And here it says a recent 2-year clinical study with people with mild cognitive impairment. They found that nicotine did not slow memory loss compared to the placebo.
No, it doesn't.
They said that nicotine actually hurts people's ability to think clearly if they don't have that kind of problem to begin with. Another important factor, he said, the study closely studied the effects of nicotine patches applied to skin, which he said appeared safe and unlikely to lead to addiction. Oral nicotine pouches, he said, I don't think we know the long-term safety of them, and they're much, much more habit-forming because the nicotine gets you in your system very quickly because of basically the receptors in your mouth. You absorb stuff very, very quickly. That's why we have the sublingual B12. That's why you get your B12 levels up so fast in your body. When you use these products, you absorb nicotine very, very quickly in your mouth, and it gets to your bloodstream fast. That's why as soon as you throw in a dip, You get a buzz from it. So again, guys, this is kind of like the whole thing with the wine study. If you're not using nicotine right now, you're not using tobacco products, don't start because they're telling you this. And if you are using them, reduce the, in my opinion, reduce your amount if you're going to do it. Try to taper it down. Because here's the other problem that happens with this as well. Nicotine's got about a 4 to 6 hour half-life on it, meaning the effects of the cardiovascular stress that it does on your system start to wane off after about a couple hours, and they gradually decrease. The issue when you start using these pouches, and I'm well aware of it, as I used to dip all the time, is that you keep them in on a regular basis even more with these pouches because you don't have to deal with any, you know, chaw. Just everybody I've seen, they throw the pouches in, they spit the pouch out, throw another one in. Mm-hmm. It's not invasive at all. It's just like they did with the vapes.
Now, a lot of people are using them to lose weight.
Well, it kills your appetite.
Okay. Now, this will be real here. Now, I'm not suggesting this at all. You can use cinnamon extract to help blunt your sugar cravings. There's all kinds of natural things that you can do to do this without putting a vasoconstrictant that's going to elevate your blood pressure and massively increase the risks.
Oh, and it will elevate your blood pressure, by the way. I've seen this personally firsthand with people that I know, because always the top three things I ask people when they're having blood pressure issues, I said, A, are you using any type of high caffeine stimulant product? Any energy drinks, anything?
Or coffee? Nicotine.
Are you using any nicotine products? And are you drinking adequate water? That is the top three questions I ask anybody when they're having BP problems right out the gate. And invariably, usually, one of those is a no, or as far as, you know, not accurate as far as the answer. So they're either using too much of everything or too little of water. So, again, just something to be aware of. But I want to cover that first thing this morning, since we got a lot of other health topics covered.
By the way, we're going to pause on the health for a second and look at an ASU professor. It looks like a Butch Dyke lesbian to me. Just thought I had to get that in there this morning. Criticizes campus event linking Christian right to political hate. So when the Christian right comes out and they start talking about Jesus and repentance, it's political hate. You know, Charlie Kirk was the one who really started pushing this. Now, I don't know what this lady's, you know, background is, and I'm not sure what it is, but I can pretty much give you an idea what it is in a minute. This is a professor who raised concerns about ideological bias. Drawing on her book, she examines how organizations on the Christian right have strategically constructed a theological justification for political hate and what that means for democracy today. It's never talked about the Republic of the United States. It's always democracy.
That's exactly right.
Democracy. Here's a democracy. You want a democracy? I'll give you a democracy. I got 100 people in a room. Okay. If 49 people agree with me and 51 people don't, I say the 51 people vote to have the other 49 hung.
Exactly.
That's
right.
Democracy. We have the political right. We have the right because we have a majority. We've got 51. The other 49 go to the gallows. You're done. It doesn't work. All you do is still have tyranny. What works is a republic where everybody has specifically designed rights. For instance, we have a little town next to us. It's an absolute nightmare town. It's like the town from H.E. Doublesticks. The cops are a nightmare, and now they've installed speed cameras to basically, anybody drives by, we're giving you a ticket. And it's based out of Georgia. It's a third party.
It's a third party.
Yeah.
These have been ruled unconstitutional.
And they sent me a ticket this morning. You were doing X amount over the speed limit. And I'm like, what? I've been driving
camera.
To that town. Yeah, camera.
AI camera.
It's a camera. AI camera. And I thought to myself, wait a minute. And it says, you have the right to file an affidavit if you're not driving the car. And if you don't know who's driving the car, you have to list everybody who's driven the car, all of their driver's license, all this
stuff.
Are
you serious?
No. Yeah, on the affidavit. And if you lie about it.
I didn't know any about this yet.
And if you lie on your affidavit, we have the right to go after you, criminally. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute.
How about you just have ticket clinic handle it?
It's a $100 fine. So what they do is they price the price down low enough that ticket clinic costs $100. There's no points involved in it, but it's just the principle of thing.
I'm not sponsored by ticket clinic.
Okay.
But I would tell you, I would not pay that. I would absolutely.
Well, anyhow, she's talking about how the Christian right darkened America's political soul. Why? Because we talk about Jesus and we don't really push the Butch Dyke lesbian agendas, and which is what you look like. And now whether she is or not, I don't know. I don't care about her sex life. All I'm saying is when they come out and they start saying this stuff, it kind of grabs me in the wrong way. By the way, IDF is under fire, okay? Now, let me say something to you. This is a really good article. I've posted it, and you guys can go ahead and read it and get your opinion on it or whatever. And here's what it says. IDF under fire after troops caught destroying and cutting off the head of a Jesus statue with a sledgehammer and an axe.
Jeez.
Let me say something to you. You know, Jewish kids are taught to hate Christians. In some households, not all households, some households, they're taught to, you know, in some households, they teach them to spit on the grave of Christians. all this other kind of stuff. Then they brought up a thing that they call Judeo-Christianity. It doesn't exist. It's a fallacy. It was brought to us by the Scofield Reference Bible. The Old Testament and the New Testament are basically completely separate. The one's an old covenant, the one's a new covenant. It's like this. If you get married to somebody, husband or wife, and it turns out to be a really big mess and a nightmare, right? And you divorce them. And then 5 years later, whatever, you marry somebody else, you got this incredible marriage. How much relationship do you want if you don't have kids to the ex? I'm asking you that. Quite frankly, you want nothing to do with them, okay? It's like breaking up with a girlfriend or a boyfriend, and then, you know, 5 years later, you're dating somebody else, and you haven't spoken to the ex in 5 years. You don't want a relationship with them. Whatever caused the problems to begin with, they're still going to cause problems now.
They're an ex for a reason.
They're an ex for a reason. Here's what it says. The construction of the fallacious concept of Judeo-Christianity has come to serve the ideological foundation of the Zionist subversion of Christianity. Did you hear what this article saying? Exactly what I just told you. In other words, you got to maintain that relationship with your old girlfriend. No, you don't. By eroding the fundamental tenets distinguishing the Abrahamic faith, which divided Christianity from Judaism for thousands of years, Israel has been able to align Western nations with its geological, political goals in a manner that has virtually turned them into vassal states, while the Zionist world order continues to propagate the term as if it were evidence of inextricable ties between the two religions and the cultures that manifest from them, no more than a cursory examination of how Christians are treated in Israel. They spit on you, they hit you, and they beat you when you talk about Jesus, is needed to construct the misguided concept of Judeo-Christianity that the Western world has fallen under the spell of. From a rise in hate crimes against Christians in Israel, reaching historic highs to the cultural acceptance of Jews, spitting on Christians, being promoted by religious and political leaders in the Judah state, the picturesque ideal of Judeo-Christianity comes in stark juxtaposition on how Christianity is actually viewed by Jews in the Holy Land. Proof of the fallacy of the construct of Judeo-Christianity has risen once again following the Israeli Defense Forces confirming the authenticity of a photo showing his shoulders destroying and mutilating the statue of Jesus. The destruction of the statue took place in Maronite village of Debel, which is roughly 54 miles to the southeast of Beirut and situated just north of the border between Lebanon and Israel. Since the onset of the war Israel was raging against Iran in March, Debel has come under heavy fire after the second front it was created against Lebanon when the IDF resumed attacks against Hezbollah. Not Hezbollah, nonsense. The demographic, now listen to this, Christians, listen to me. The demographics of the villages are almost entirely Christian, Austin, with 99.5% of the registered voters adhering to Christianity, over 92% of whom are Catholics. Following the onset of the IDF attacks in Lebanon, the Vatican coordinated a convoy of delivered 40 tons of aid to the devil, but was unable to carry out the humanitarian vision because the, basically, Israeli military presence said you can't bring aid to the civilians who are Christians. After hours of circulating across social media where the initial post of the act of anti-Christian vandalism in the village gained more than 5 million views, the skepticism that met the outrage of the image of an Israeli soldier destroying a statue of Christ was erased when the IDF, Israeli Defense Force, confirmed that it was real. They're admitting to it. IDF officials verified that the soldier captured in the pit photo was stationed in southern Lebanon during Israel's latest military offensive. The same officials also stated that an investigation into the act would be done. Following the publication of the photo, Palestinian members of the Knesset amplified the post in an effort to shed light on the anti-Christian sentiment that has been accepted as a normal part of the Israeli culture. Now, I don't know how to write this any better than they wrote it, Austin. It's just telling you what they said. There's no such thing as Judeo-Christianity. It does not exist. That's why they're trying to force you into helping them rebuild a third temple. You don't need a temple when Jesus died for you, shed his blood for you, and has been a sacrifice for you for all eternity as an omnipresent being. You don't need a third temple, but they want you to believe that you do. It's complete nonsense. And so it's two separate religions, guys, period. And you've got to understand that. They are mutually exclusive. They have some things in the background, like you learned some stuff from your ex-wife. You did. You learned stuff from your ex-husband. You did. But that doesn't mean that you're still married to them when you're married to somebody else or have a new girlfriend or a new boyfriend. It doesn't work that way. It's sad to me, though. It's just unreal to how we've lied to us like this.
I'm going to switch gears some health stuff, but to close that out, though, that topic out, I want to clarify this because I've gotten a lot of people that have argued with me on this topic. What nobody is bothering to realize is you constantly hear this, well, Hezbollah this and Hezbollah that. There's another. Israel established a yellow line now in southern Lebanon yesterday. Same kind of line they divided Israel and Gaza with Hamas, right? They said Israelis shot and killed Hezbollah fighters who approached the line now. It is a permanent buffer zone. You can see the photo of it here. They've got a dividing line now. That is now Israel's new line they've put in Lebanon. That is their property now. They own it. It was a full land grab. This is what it is. I'm not making this up. Hezbollah, a lot of Hezbollah fighters have nothing to do with terrorism. Let me clarify this. It's exactly what my guy that did military contract work still currently has told me multiple times. The Hezbollah term is a blanket term that Israel uses as a catch-all phrase to anyone who resists or fights against IDF. So if you got guys in these villages in Lebanon, right, they've got old M4s. They've got AK-47s. They've had stashed weapons caches for years because they deal with a very invasive country that lives below them that's constantly trying to steal stuff from them. They have militias. They have groups of people that do not want their land stolen. They do not want their women raped, and they do not want their children firebombed from drone strikes. Pretty simplistic basis from combat, okay? They are considered Hezbollah at any point in time if you raise a rifle or resist against IDF. So this Hezbollah blanket term, they're Iranian terrorists that are fighting Israel. It's a complete and total lie. Are there groups of cells that may be tied in with Iran that are in Lebanon that are fighting Israel by behest of Iran? Sure, absolutely. Is everybody there that is basically, you know, fighting back in that category? Absolutely not. I want to clarify this because this is the lie they keep telling everyone. It's all Hezbollah. No, you have groups that don't want their entire town bulldozed and taken over, as you've seen, and they fight back. They are considered terrorists and they are considered insurgents. The same thing we did in Iraq, the same thing we've done in Afghanistan. You have to dehumanize the other side of the combat because you've got to make sure everybody does not think of them as people. They have to think of them as basically animals and we're slaughtering them in combat. That's how you always train soldiers, to dehumanize the other side in most cases. And this is what they've done with the media now. So everybody's Hezbollah that resists IDF. I mean, heck, they started saying, Turkey, if Turkey, you do this, we're going to go fight Turkey. And Turkey's like, well, you really want to start a conflict with us? That's probably not a great idea. That goes bad for everybody if this happens with Turkey. So I really hope that doesn't happen. But again, I want to clear that up on here. So,
oh, by the way, another study has come out. Very good one, by the way. It's very, very real. Artificial and quote, non-nutritive sweeteners drive divergent gut and genetic responses across generation. That means epigenetics. Background, the role of non-nutritive sweeteners in the development of metabolic alterations and chronic non-communicable diseases is controversial. No, it's not. It's also unclear whether these alterations are transmitted to offspring. Here we go. Or whether the gut microbiome is involved in these processes, because we talked about Splenda just the other day. The study aimed to compare in mice the effect of parental sucralose, there you go, and consumption in fetal microbia, diversity, composition, and short-chain fatty acid concentrations, and it basically took a look at it. And so what they're saying is that, you know, we have a group of drugs that basically that can affect glucose tolerance, the expression of liver, you know, and fecal microbia that are transmitted across generation. And so we have a group of people saying now that when you use sucralose, sucralose, you end up basically causing all kinds of problems from a genetic standpoint. Now, that's a pretty big statement, guys.
That is.
I mean, they're talking about gut barrier function and gut microbiome and how it's destroyed using sucralose. Austin talked about this last week, about the chlorine going into your gut and basically destroying the gut microbiota.
I was another test subject for this product as well. Years and years ago when I was in bodybuilding, sucralose was starting to come out in the early 20s.
I warned him.
Hey, listen, sometimes you got to learn things the hard way. That's why I try to give you guys advice, because I've been there, done that with a lot of stuff my entire life. Sucralose is a chlorocarbon. It is a pesticide basis from the beginning. It is not a safe compound at all once it enters the body.
Pesticide.
What they say as far as sucralose is that it's relatively stable and non-toxic on the surface when you have it, you know, in a petri dish. Here's the problem. The chlorine atoms that are connected to the sucralose molecule break off when they mix with hydrochloric acid, which is stomach acid, and they release into the body. They wreck the kidneys. They wreck the gut. They wreck all probiotics. Sucralose, one dose. I don't have this study in front of me, but I remember this from like 10 years ago. One singular dose, an average dose of sucralose, wrecks like 70 to 80% of your gut probiotic. One dose of it. And what happens is that the gut-brain axis does not function properly once you don't have proper probiotics. I've gone into detail on the show. So stay away from that stuff because the sucralose will wreck your kidneys. It will wreck your gut health long-term. It has all types of health problems. It is not a safe sweetener.
You know, it's funny. I made a mistake years ago. Big mistake. I had a guy come in and wanted to put some marble in our showers. Okay? And I thought, well, it'd be fun.
Well, it'll be fun.
And then I walk into the bed. This is a crazy story. I don't know why I'm thinking about this. So I walk into the house. I'm gone. I walk in. And he's cutting the marble in my bathroom with the door open, with my bedroom door open, and the dust is all over the house and in the AC system.
No wet blade?
No wet blade.
Just dry cut marble?
I mean, it was like walking into a fog.
Oh, yeah.
And so I politely asked him to get out of my house. And I had somebody else come back and do it outside, and a different person came out. The crazy part about it was is nobody told me that the marble was porous. They did tell me you had to seal it.
Yeah.
And so every so often, I've got to pour bleach on the shower floor to make sure that nothing's growing in it.
Yeah.
Now, if I had tile, I wouldn't have to do all that.
Right.
So don't ever put marble in a shower. I'm just letting you know that. And as soon as I pour the bleach on any kind of microbe that's growing on the shower floor, it instantaneously kills it.
Yeah.
Now you got my segue, don't you? Why are you pouring bleach down your gut with sucralose? It's a chlorocarbon.
It wipes out your probiotic.
Now, I mean, think about it for a second. And I remember, and I've talked to you guys about this before. Austin and I go to a health show, bodybuilding show.
Yeah, Orlando.
Yeah, I forgot the name.
Europa.
The Europa. And they had hundreds of booths set up. Every single bodybuilding product that we looked at for protein powders, carb, for bars, everything was loaded with
about 10 years ago.
Remember that?
It's gotten slightly better in that industry because I monitor a lot of it, but it's still massively overwhelming. Back then, sucralose Splenda had come out about 20 years ago, and it was like this new golden sweetener. Oh, it's super healthy. There's no health problems with it. I mean, as soon as we started researching, I'm like, this doesn't add up. There's something wrong with this stuff, and why is it in everything in the health community? So, again, keep that stuff out of your diet the best you possibly can because there are no health benefits to it. There's another article I want to cover here. It says, alarming images expose the effects of ultra-processed foods on the body. This is interesting.
I sent you this one.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
X-ray photos of a woman's thigh published in a new release study show how ultra-processed foods negatively affect the body. Study linked the consumption of ultra-processed foods to developing extreme excess intramuscular fat, especially on the thighs. They found that consuming large amounts of ultra-processed food increased muscle fat levels. Defines ultra-processed foods, the addition of sugar, salt, fat, oil, and other substances, including artificial colors, preservatives, and stabilizers, that alter flavor, increase shelf life, and I'll add this, increase the addictive properties of the food. It's one factor on there. And they go on to detail here in the article. It says the radiology study applied to all muscle groups, including the hamstring, quads, inner thighs, as well as the belly size, and called the abdominal circumference for both men and women. And the published X-ray photos of 60-year-old woman's leg used for research purposes provide a visual aid of how ultra-processed food consumption manifests in the body. They said the lady's 80% of her diet consisted of ultra-processed foods.
That's high fructose corn syrup.
Yep, soda, cereal, chocolate, candy bars.
Milk that never goes bad.
He said increased fat accumulation puts certain thousands of other greater risk of metabolic disease because what it does is everything gets coated in fat, including inside the stomach, inside the gut, inside the liver, inside the muscles. And this is showing up here. So it's almost like like a cow with heavy fat marbling.
Yeah,
so it does, all the muscles get filled with fat. The organs get fat surrounding them. So it's not just that subcutaneous fat, that little bit of fat that covers your abs. It's fat everywhere in your body, and it becomes increasingly more difficult to lose, and it causes an enormous amount of stress on every organ of the body as well, especially the heart, because it's got to pump blood through all that, and you've got all these capillaries, blood vessels, arteries, everything that now have all this fat intermingled with them, and it causes a whole lot of long-term health effects.
Well, it's just not healthy, especially with the internal visceral fat.
No, that's what leads to non-alcoholic fatty liver disease.
Yeah. I've seen it over and over and over and over again. I always tell people, what are you doing? You're gaining weight. The other day, I was talking to somebody, and they was at the airport actually, and it was at the hangar when we were having the air show, and they had some alcohol there, which I did not touch, and they were just boozing it.
Yep.
Yeah, and I was raised in a bar, so I get along okay with people that drink as long as they're nice drunks. I do. I get along fine with them. Now, if they're mean drunks, I want any part of it. Most of them are hypoglycemic.
That's a fact. We found that out.
They get angry, boy. And so, because that's the big problem with a lot of alcoholics is they're hypoglycemic.
Well, it turns to sugar, man. Mm-hmm. Spikes insulin.
And so she's taking Wegovy.
And drinking on it?
Yeah. And so I've gained 25 pounds. I hadn't seen him in years. And so I'm losing weight. And so I thought, I went back over the other day. I thought, I'm going to just let her know just because, what's going on with the drugs and the alcohol and not drugs.
Well,
and alcohol.
Wegovy and Ozempic are the $2 billion lawsuit right now.
Well, so what happened is I told her, I said, I got to let you know something about alcohol and, whatever. And she just said, wait a minute, I'm a nurse. Okay. I know all this. And I'm like, no, you don't. But I didn't say anything to her. I was real nice lady. And she's I haven't taken my shot now that I've been drinking. I'm like, okay, I'll let it go. Now, let me explain something to you. Here's what I've learned. If I say to you, I think I know how to fix this, and I get that response,
yeah,
I'm done talking.
Yep. Always.
You need to be the same way. Because, don't be trying to force your values or your opinions on somebody if they're not interested. And here's why I tell you not to do it. Because it's a waste of time. Yeah. My cousin, Uncle's Joe, sister's brother, who's a plumber, who has a friend who's an electrician, his name is Bobby. And Bobby's got a nephew whose name is Larry. And Larry's got some health problems. I want you to call Larry up and ask him about his health and try to get him on some supplements.
I wish you were joking.
I have never seen a bigger waste of time than that in my entire life. And I first got with Health Masters, I started learning really very quickly that if somebody doesn't pay you to help them, in most cases, they don't consider the advice worthwhile. Now, the cousin Joe Balby's love, they don't even know who I am or who Austin is or anybody is, but they eat bad and they got all kinds of health problems. Why in the world would they listen to me, a total stranger? They have no idea who I am.
The biggest one, that was, kind of
extrapolation.
Yeah, analogy. The biggest one that I get emails on, this is why I stopped doing them, is parents contact me about their kids that are in their 20s or 30s or 40s, and the parents want me to contact their kids and convince them to take supplements.
Or not to vaccinate.
My response is, here's the information. You can talk to them about it. Boom, here's the links. Or, hey, best thing to do is start an Ultimate Multiple Powder. They'll take that. That's the best thing to start on. Trying to go out and convince people to change their diet and stop things in their diet has to be a personal choice. It always has. It always will be. If you don't want to do nicotine pouches anymore, you're the only one that can stop them. If you don't want to eat ultra-processed foods anymore, you're the only one that can stop them. Nobody in the world is going to be able to stop somebody from eating or ingesting something that they want.
Well, I tried to help this lady the other day. Shut me down instantaneously. And I just, my response was, okay.
Let it go.
Because why? Because I don't need to win this. There are enough battles we've got to fight.
Exactly.
That we're pushed into that we don't want to do, right? Rather than starting our own battle just to get into a fight with somebody or an argument, what's the point? All I'm going to do is destroy the relationship from a friendship standpoint anyhow. If somebody doesn't want to stop using drugs, if somebody doesn't want to stop smoking, if somebody doesn't want to start eating clean, you trying to tell them they need to eat clean, all that does is basically makes them think that you're a nag.
For example, here. Landmark Australian study finds vaping likely caused lung and oral cancer. Duh. If you're still using nicotine-based e-cigarettes and you're being shocked by this, I don't know what else to tell you. They said the synthesized clinical studies, animal experience, laboratory
research. But nicotine is healthy.
The term identified remarkable consistency across the entire board, risk across biological levels, and that the volatile chemicals and the nicotine and the other compounds in it lead to oxidative stress, tissue damage, and ultimately cancer. Across the board, remarkable consistency is their words on it. You want to use it? Use it. If you don't, don't. I don't recommend using these products. And sure as heck, though, don't start using nicotine products because your influencer on podcast, on Instagram, said it'll help your brain.
There's this one girl. I saw this morning on Daily Mail, and I wasn't going to bring it up, and I'm not going to give you any names, but she's an influencer. And she had a bunch of other influencers with them. And they got into a big influencer argument. And so the one girl comes out, gets in her car, and runs the other ones over.
God, I'm not laughing. That's not funny. But it's like, what?
Oh, yeah. She's being charged now with attempted murder. Oh, and, let me say something to you. When people start being influencers and they start getting drunk and they start having influencers with influencers around other influencers, everybody gets to get in the fight. Who's the biggest influencer?
That's literally
culminating and getting
one
run
giant
over.
Ego. Yeah.
No, it's unbelievable. And I sat here and I looked at that article this morning. I started laughing and I thought, what a world we live in nowadays. And and people wonder why. Here's your segue. Get ready for the segue. And people wonder why the unease you're feeling is not an accident. That's the article next. This is a really good article. Something has shifted. You know, maybe you may not be able to name it precisely, but you feel it in the cost of your groceries and the tone of the news and the conversations at church that drift towards things nobody used to say out loud. A quiet, persistent sense that the world your parents handed you is becoming unrecognizable and that the pace of that change is accelerating. You're not being paranoid. You're paying attention. And the difference between those two things matters more right now than perhaps any moment in living history. True point. This is not a piece about stocking your bunker or predicting the exact date of the apocalypse. Critch has been wrong about that too many times in the last 2,000 years. What this is instead is a serious look at four converging pressures that demand a serious response, not from politicians, not from pundits, but from you personally, spiritually, and practically. The ancient world for that response is readiness. Jesus used it often. Watch, therefore, he said in Matthew 24:42, for ye know not what hour the Lord doeth cometh. That command was not given to frighten us. It was given us to use preparation properly, understood as an act of faith. The new world order is cracking. The international architect, this is being done on purpose, by the way. The international architect of the United States has spent 70 years building after World War II is visibly straining. Trade wars, sanctions, tariff escalations, and the fracturing of long-time alliances have not just rattled the markets. They've begun to rewire the fundamental relationships between nations. BlackRock, here we go. I've warned you this morning already. BlackRock, State Street, Vanguard's own geopolitical risk analysis noted recently that 2024 and 2025 and 2026 may mark the beginning of a new geopolitical era altogether, one shaped by more of a transactional American foreign policy that is exposing deep fractures in the Western alliance. Yes, BlackRock is a globalist corporation that uses guidance as a manipulation tool, but that doesn't mean they're wrong. The economic consequences are not abstract. When global supply chains are disrupted, your grocery shelf is disrupted. When you can't produce fertilizer, your food is disruptive. When trading partners retaliate against American tariffs or get mad over mean words by President Trump, American manufacturers absorb the blow. When the dollar's reserve currency status comes under pressure, as it increasingly does, when rival powers strike bilateral energy deals that bypass the dollar entirely, the purchasing power of every American paycheck is quietly eroded. Pay attention very carefully to what's going on right now. This is why he mentioned spiritually in here. We have to keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus all the days of our life, for he is the author, he is the finisher, he is the perfecter of our faith. Without the filling of the Holy Spirit, you're going to go through this life with what's happening right now from a geopolitical standpoint and unbelievable stress. You're going to lay awake at night biting your fingernails, not be able to sleep with all this. It's so amazing to me how many people have anxiety disorders now. I can't sleep. I've got anxiety.
It has increased a lot from what I've seen and heard.
And that's why Xanax has gone through the roof, the sales. Because people, I've got anxiety. Oh! And they run around screaming anxiety. It's because they don't have a relationship, in many cases, not in all cases, with the Most High God and through Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit. And they allow this stuff to internalize. The Bible says, who by worrying can add a single moment to their life?
Well, and from a physical standpoint, a lot of it we're finding out now is magnesium deficiency.
Mm-hmm.
As easy as that sounds to
good
fix.
Good segue. That's true.
No, it is. I did an entire show on this back. I think a solo show, like half the show when he was out of town a while back. If you want to listen to it, on magnesium, anxiety, all types of other issues that increase once magnesium levels get depleted in the body. Magnesium is crucial for overall mental health, for basically, I hate the word anxiety because it's got this weird connotation to it now, but anxiety can be a lot of different things, right? So there's different symptoms to it. There's different aspects of it. There's different causations to it, but magnesium, in almost all cases they found, helps at least ease some issues that people are having with that, because the body thrives. Excuse me. Body thrives on magnesium. It has to have it. It's involved in over 300 biochemical reactions in the body. So if your body gets deficient in this, you start having all types of other health issues. Then what ties into that really gets anxiety going is when the gut-brain axis starts to get dissolved.
When you start pouring chlorine down your gut.
And ultra-processed foods. The body can't produce proper amounts of serotonin. The body can't produce proper amounts of dopamine. The body starts producing certain hormones and certain aspects in an uneven fashion, and the body starts becoming out of whack. Then you start having more problems. So make sure you're taking adequate magnesium and also to get your gut healthy.
Here's the conclusion of the matter according to this article.
Yep.
Okay. Now, they don't mention the magnesium supplementation. They're using over 300 biochemical reactions. I take so much magnesium, it's ridiculous. I mean, I like to use a tablespoon every night of the magnesium brain food. I'm not suggesting that you do that, but I do that. It's amazing how it makes you sleep at night. The unease you have a feeling for is not a malfunction. It may be the most spiritually productive sensation available to you right now. Brings you closer to God and to Jesus. Don't medicate it with distraction or soothe it with denial. Let it move you toward God, toward your community, toward the kind of prepared and purposeful life, purposeful life that honors the times we are living in. The storm may not arrive tomorrow, but the wise man builds before the rain, not during it. That reminds me of a couple of years ago, we had a big storm come in the backyard. It's flooded. And we basically had someone complain about the pipes that we had in the yard pumping water to the road. Yeah. And Austin, this is nuts. So Austin and I are out right before the storm hit, moving pipes. That was not a good look.
Sump pumps and pipes all ourselves. Yeah, the middle of the storm.
Yeah. And they're right. So when they say that, the wise man builds before the rain, not during it. Yeah, we had the whole thing prepped up already for it. And we had to get out in the storm. And you had to make sure you don't get stuff blown and hit you and kill you. Florida is not the place to get out in a hurricane and try to do things in the rain.
150 mile an hour winds.
Okay. The wise man builds. That means the wise man takes his supplements before he comes down with heart disease, diabetes, and cancer as a preventative measure. Now, did you hear what I just said? The wise man mitigates stress to the best of their ability, and they stop hanging out with people that are causing them stress. They stop doing the same things that caused them stress in the past. They start to realize that just maybe certain behavioral patterns are consistent with this individual that I know, and I need to avoid them. If a person you go out with and want to hang out with, all they want to do is get drunk and go to bars and do drugs and vape, hit nicotine patches, or do chaw, there's a high probability that they're not going to be long-term as far as your friend. If they want to go out and get drunk all the time, when no matter what you do, tell them how bad alcohol is, chances are they're not going to be your buddy for a long time. Or your whatever. That's not going to work. So learn how to be spiritually discerning. You can love them from a distance. You can talk to them about God, about Jesus. You can try to tell them not to mix alcohol with these different weight loss drugs. You can try to do anything you want. But you don't try to force it. And you realize very quickly, stay with who brought you. If you basically ride the horse across the stream, just stay on the horse. Don't change horses. If you're healthy and you look good, if you go to a dance, make it a little easier, and you have a date to the dance with you, don't change partners in the middle of the song. Don't do that. Dance with your wife. And by the way, I'm going to give you a little bit of heads up here. Don't let other men dance with your wife. Now you look at me, why not? If I've got to tell you why not, then there's no point in even me telling you that. Nobody touches your wife. They don't touch her. They don't hug her. Don't do it. I had a guy that I knew.
You have to ask me why.
I had a guy that was multiple adulterer, I found out later. And he every time he saw Sharon, he wanted to hug her. Finally, it's a big guy, about 6'5". I finally walked up to him. This is 40 years ago. And I walked up to him. I said, don't touch my wife again. No. And he said, I said, I don't want to hear it. Don't touch her again. It makes her uncomfortable and it pisses me off. Leave my wife alone and out of your reach, period. And he did. He never touched her again. Of course, he touched everybody else he could find. The guy was a serial adulterer. A piece of crap is what he was.
Anyways.
So if I got to tell you not, I can't tell you how many times a woman starts dancing with you. It's like posting her bikini pictures on Facebook. Don't just tell her, no, we're not going to do that. Don't do it. They're trolling. Don't allow other guys.
My kids and everyone need magnesium. I got a lot of stuff I'm still trying to cover on the show. You made a valid point there. You're 100% accurate on that. Goes into detail. You're seeing how a lot of times now these issues that a lot of children are experiencing and exhibiting also ties back into magnesium deficiency. Just like I said with anxieties. I want to close that article out here. And another one too on here, it was saying ADHD. Again, they're looking at can be associated with magnesium deficiency, and experts are saying these conditions can be exacerbated the worse it gets. They said sufficient magnesium is associated with reduced behavioral problems, reduction in ADHD symptoms, depression, and anxiety. This is what the researchers are saying here. So look at what you can do to make changes as far as in your diet or your children's diet and what supplements you can add. You know, and the crazy part about it is I've always, this is something I'm going to say that's been odd to me. So many times people come to me with a problem, they want nutrition needs. I give them some advice like, hey, try the magnesium brain food, see how you like it. Well, it's an expensive product. I don't want to spend the money on that. Guys, I don't have a huge margin on all these products. They cost a lot of money to manufacture. It's crazy to me, but then I'll see them a week later, and they're out of the restaurant, eat a $200 dinner. I don't care. Eat what you want. Go where you want. Spend the money how you want. But please don't ask me for advice. I give you information. I give you quality products, and you complain about the cost on them, but then you still go out and spend money on all this other stuff that's causing your problems and exacerbating them.
$500 tennis shoes.
Just a pet peeve of mine. And that's why I give you guys coupons. I do discounts. I do three packs. I do everything I can to try to encourage everybody and give everybody the opportunity to try this stuff. So thank you for the customers that support us. Thank you for the positive reviews. You know, I've seen more and more reviews keep popping. Like magnesium brain food right at the top of there. It's got 42 five-star reviews. I mean, there's a reason why these products get the reviews they do, the reason why they work the way they do, and the reason why I want everybody to feel as good, as strong, as healthy, and as sharp as possible. Because the more the population wakes up and stays healthy, the less money you're giving to the banking cartel. You're giving these boys that love free air. And speaking of free air, I'm going to cover this article. I did not know this.
Uh-oh, here we go.
It's a health topic with fluoride.
Oh, it's health, okay.
Fluoride. Iran war leads to fluoride shortages in U.S. water utilities. Now, as soon as I saw this article, I thought to myself, how in the world are these two things intertwined? How are fluoride levels in the water changed by the Iran war? Glad you guys asked. I got an answer. So they're saying now Baltimore Department of Public Works said they have a problem. They've had to reduce their levels of fluoride to 0.7 milligrams per liter from 0.7 to 0.4. They said it's driven by disruptions in the Middle East chain. Now, why in the world would this happening?
No, go back.
No. I'm going to. No, wait. Where am I going?
You mentioned Israel.
No. Oh, No, wait. Just wait. Hold on. Hydrofluoric acid is an important compound for water fluoridation. It's hard to source, though.
Total lie.
From the main supplier in Israel.
Israel
is the world's top exporter of hydrofluoric acid, according to the United States EPA agency.
Oh, my gosh.
Number one exporter of fluoride to the rest of the world.
Makes you servile and fertile.
Why in the world would they be the number one exporter of fluoride to the entire world? United States is in the top five importer of Israel's fluoride. Right at the top, right? Number one, number two. Why in the world would that happen? Oh, I don't know. You guys do the math on that. Come back to me a week from now and tell me why you think they're the number one exporter. Oh, by the way, Israel doesn't fluoridate their own water.
I didn't know that.
They don't fluoridate their own water, but they sell it to the rest of the world.
Because you have to remember Dachau. You know, makes you
leave that for what it is, guys. I'm putting that one on the table. You have fun with that.
How do you make everybody stupid? You put them on fluoride.
How do you become the number one exporter of fluoride in the entire world, but you don't fluoridate your own water? I rest on that one.
Oh, by the way, how do you take 2 million FBI records and you find them in a hidden room in burn bags?
Burn bags, baby.
Up to 2 million FBI records were found in a secret room of the FBI. Tom Fitton of Judicial Watch uncovered the information. The records date back to the Comey era, and most are anti-Trump records in a burn bag.
Yeah. 2 million FBI records.
Having FBI records in a burn bag is very unusual. And no one has said who put them there or why they weren't burned. They should be criminally investigated. Pam Bondi wasted all year. It seems that agencies can't investigate themselves. It is a priority to expose these lawfare documents. A couple of weeks ago, Donald Trump didn't even know about this. Now, let me say something to you about this. You know, here's the person who goes, I want you to take these records and put them in burn bags. That's legal. I don't give a crap. You're going to do it. I'm going to fire you. But you understand, I don't want to do this. I can't burn bag these things. So you burn bag, you put them in burn bags, and you go, oh, by the way, I'm gonna put them in the back room because I ain't burning them.
Yeah, that's what happened. Somebody put them somewhere.
I'm not doing this because if I go before Congress, I got to say I burn these things. I say I put them in the burn bag, but I'm not burning them. Somebody else got them, and nobody wants to touch them. They're radioactive in the back.
Yep.
It's metaphorically. And they're going, oh, man, this stuff's glowing out of the back room. Well, yeah, nobody wants to burn these things because that's obstruction of justice and tampering with evidence and. Now we're talking felonies, unlike that speed ticket I got in Lake Alpha, which was nothing. It's unbelievable.
Now, it'll get dismissed as far as what they're doing with the unconstitutional speed tickets, the cameras. They're insane. And to clarify this, just to give you guys a visual estimate, 2 million files, that's 10 pallets 4 feet tall of paper. That's packaged, reamed in boxes, like if I ordered for printing paper. 10 pallets. This is a room that had all those burn bags in there. This wasn't a file cabinet. So, yeah.
Remember, there were like a whole warehouse full of this stuff with Epstein.
Oh, yeah. There's multiple warehouse bags on it. So, something.
Oh, I saw an interesting meme. It says, we'll stop blocking the Straits of Hormuz as soon as you give us the full documentation of the Epstein files. Yeah.
Well, now an Iranian tanker got seized.
Yeah.
Now,
there's no theater with this whole thing, man.
This is why I haven't covered it a lot on the show anymore. I cover more topics that are a little bit more, I guess, active. But this whole thing is being used as one very, very effective strategy to manipulate the price of oil, control what's going on.
21 ring circus, uh-huh. And to extend the borders of Israel to get more seaside villages.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way. This is interesting. Car owners are now suing Tesla because the cars can't drive themselves yet. They were told 10 years ago if they bought the $7,000 upgraded package that their cars would be driving themselves. And there's a big self-driving track right here in Auburndale.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, it's a pretty nice track. You can't even go through it. It's got armed security out front with gates and barbed wire.
We tried. They said, you're going to be trespassed if you pass this point.
Yeah, he did.
And you're armed.
And now they've got us. You can't even get to the gate anymore without going through gates.
Really?
Yeah. So I went by there the other day and just trying to
block them. No, it's got some heavy security there, man.
Yeah, there's thousands and thousands of Tesla owners now suing Elon Musk and Tesla because the cars don't drive themselves. We've waited 10 years and they're still not driving.
Oh, I remember the teens. I remember 2015, 2016 when the stuff was rolling out. It was going to be the latest, greatest thing. There was going to be, you could just set it, forget it on the interstate. The problem is what's happened is Tesla has backpedaled on a lot of that technology because they had so many fatalities.
That's right.
That's what's happened.
Set it, forget it until you die.
90 miles an hour, it drives underneath a semi-truck on the interstate, decapitates the owner. The car. I mean, that's happened multiple times down here in Florida. So Tesla's kind of like, well, this isn't okay.
Well, we're not sure if it's quite 90 miles an hour, but we have
Well, speed limits be.
Oh, by the way, you covered this 2 weeks ago, and now here we go. Finally, the mainstream media catches up. Turkey could be the next Iran for Israel. U.S. envoy scrambles to calm the tensions.
Yeah, yeah.
Turkey has said, hey, here's how it's going to work. You go ahead and keep bombing Lebanon. We're coming after you. We're going to start, war with you, Israel. And in Turkey, apparently these Turkey boys are kind of tough.
And they're armed. They're heavily armed.
They don't want to play the game.
Yeah. I got an article. I'm going to cover this tomorrow. Merck's Keytruda, which is a $30 billion new cancer drug that apparently we're finding out everybody's being massively overcharged for it once again. Imagine that. Another cancer drug that everybody's being overcharged for. I'll cover that tomorrow. I got more stuff I'm going to cover on that, a health topic.
Oh, by the way, Paul Craig Roberts issues an article that says basically they have now found using antifungal and antiparasitical drugs, I've sent it and posted it, is a cure for cancer. And it says now these guys are saying that ivermectin, mebendazole, and fenbendazole has been a proper treatment for cancer. He's reported numerous cases of stage 4 cancer patients recovering using antiparasitical drugs. I talked about this 10 years ago. Helga Clark talked about this a long, long time ago, and she was eviscerated for it. Yeah. But guys, listen to me. If you've been diagnosed with cancer, there's all kinds of natural things that you can do, including taking these types of drugs rather than going on chemotherapy, radiation, surgery. But make sure you get multiple people giving you advice.
We're not making any claims.
We don't sell any of this stuff. You get multiple people giving you information and independent studies and independent tests on you, and you make sure that you make your own decision on all of this stuff, because I'm not advocating there's any cure for cancer or whatever. I'm saying this is what Paul Craig Roberts is saying, so you guys can look at that. I'm
also too, I told you guys the pre-sale and the collagen will be over tomorrow. So if you want to stock up on it, like I said, discounted the heck out of it. Let everybody try it. Give me feedback.
Man, I love that stuff. I take it every day.
The biggest thing that I've found now that makes it even more intriguing is what it does to the gut barrier, the gut lining, as far as rebuilding it, because it's all collagen. So thank you guys for your support. Be sure to vote for what you want to see Wednesday product of the week. Call us, email us, healthmasters.com. Thank you for your support, my friends. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night. We'll talk to you again on this show tomorrow, as always.
By the way, I told you I was speaking in church yesterday. It's next week. I messed that up. It was my bad. I apologize. I'll be speaking next week in church, and it's going to be fun. I always enjoy doing scripture in church. I love you guys. I appreciate you. Thanks for keeping your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life. Remember, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. You guys have a great evening, and we will talk to you guys tomorrow.